leader emphasizes benefits of Islamic unity for Muslim world. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on Friday, 15th of November, on the auspicious occasion of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, granted an audience to attendees of the 33rd International Islamic Unity Conference. Delegates to the conference were from 93 countries, as well as envoys from Muslim countries in Tehran. Also attending were special officials of the three branches of the government and the military top brass. 17th of Rabiul Awwal, which also happens to be the birthday anniversary of the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, marks the culmination of the annual Islamic Unity Week, which starts on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal and brings together Sunni and Shia Muslims on a common platform of solidarity. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei took the opportunity to dwell on various issues of the Islamic Ummah and made it clear that Islamic unity is not a political move, rather, it is a belief based on heartfelt faith. Stay with us for the first part of excerpts from the leader's speech. Ayatollah Khamenei praised Allah the Almighty for his infinite favors and saluted the master of all divine messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He paid tribute to the Prophet's immaculate household, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, as well as the Prophet's righteous companions, and greeted the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance for establishment of a global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. He told the audience, "I heartily congratulate you on the auspicious occasion of the birthday of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to all mankind, with the universal message of Islam, as well as the blessed birth anniversary of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, which is also very significant. The value of this day and other such days should be appreciated. The Prophet of Islam is the best of God's creation and the most excellent human being. He is higher in status and greater than all prophets, all saints, and all persons in the world throughout history. He is superior to other prophets in terms of morality and his immaculate nature. He is peerless in terms of knowledge and generosity." The leader quoted a couplet from the poem by Sharafuddin Buseiri. "All prophets had beseeched the Prophet of Islam to grant them a drop from his infinite sea and a drip of his boundless and immeasurable rain." The leader then said, "The Prophet is a ray of divine light, and so is the Holy Quran, which says in Ayah 15 of Surah Ma'idah, 'Certainly there has come to you a light from Allah and a manifest book.'" One of the esteemed wives of the Holy Prophet, when asked to describe him, had said, "The Holy Quran is in his inherent nature." This means that the Prophet is the embodiment of the Holy Quran, or the Quran al-Natiq, the talking and living Quran. Hence, he is light as well, in view of the famous hadith, "The first creation of God was my light." Light is a means of providing brightness and ensuring the life of human beings. The Prophet of Islam, too, is a means of providing brightness and ensuring the life of human societies. These are things that humanity will gradually learn. The messenger of God is a source of light in the true sense of the word. The Arab poet says, "Guidance was born and light has imbued all creatures." This is really the truth of the matter. Another poet has said, "And time is smiling and expressing words of praise." I hope that the world of Islam will be like this as well. I hope that the world of Islam smiles on the birthday of the Prophet, that it will not suffer from sorrow and grief. This is our sincere wish. In his remarks, the leader of the Islamic Revolution told the audience, "I have written down two or three points which I want to discuss with you. One is about Islamic Unity Week. We in the Islamic Republic of Iran have named this week, starting from 12th of Rabiul Awwal until the 17th of Rabiul Awwal. Such naming is not just for the sake of it, and it is not a political and tactical move either. Rather, this naming is based on a belief and heartfelt faith. The Islamic Republic believes in the necessity of unity of the Islamic Ummah in the true sense of the word. And there is a precedent for this. It is not particular to our time and to the Islamic Republic. A great source of emulation, or marja'i taqlid, of the 1950s, like Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Hossein Burujerdi, was a serious advocate of Islamic unity. Grand Ayatollah Burujerdi advocated close relations between all Muslim denominations. He was in contact with the great personalities of the world of Islam at the time and would speak frequently to Sunni Muslim scholars of his day. This is a heartfelt and deep belief. We believe in this, and we believe that Allah, the Exalted, has inspired us to do this. Of course, there are different levels of unity for the world of Islam. The lowest level is that of Muslim societies, Muslim states, Muslim governments, Muslim ethnicities and Muslim denominations, avoiding transgressing, confronting and harming one another. This is the first step. A higher level is that the world of Islam should join hands against this common enemy and should defend one another with real and solid unity. This is a higher step to take. Yet, a higher level is that of Muslim countries and peoples should aid one another. Muslim countries are not equal in terms of science, wealth, security, and political power, and they can help and assist one another. Those who are in a higher level, in every area, should take the hands of those who are lower. This is another level of Islamic unity. A still higher level of unity is that of entire Muslim world unites to build the new Islamic civilization. This is something that the Islamic Republic of Iran has chosen as its ultimate goal. Achieving an Islamic civilization, one that is compatible with the requirements of the present era. These are the different levels of Islamic unity. Ayatollah Khamenei posed the question, "What was the lowest level of unity?" He answered himself, saying, "The lowest level was that Muslim countries should avoid confronting each other and stand together in the face of a common enemy." If we had observed this point, we should not have faced so many calamities today. The issue of Palestine is the gravest calamity for the Muslim world. This is because they, the colonialists, threw a people out of their homeland, replacing them with others who in turn usurped the land and pressured the true owners of the land. This is the condition in present-day Gaza Strip, and such are the crimes committed by the Zionists in the land of Palestine, as you can see for yourself. And the other side of Palestine, in the occupied West Bank, it is no better. If the Muslim world had committed itself to its lowest level of unity, these things would not have happened, and the enemy would not have dared to do such things. Notice what incidents and what bloody wars have been waged. We are faced with the issue of Yemen and the western part of the region of North Africa. All these have taken place because we have not paid attention to even the lowest level of Islamic unity, and Islam requires us to do this. This is very heavy responsibility. We are addressing these statements to broad-minded and outstanding personalities. Thankfully, the Muslim world benefits from outstanding figures and intellectuals. They should seriously follow these issues. Muslim peoples, especially younger generation, are interested in this. But there are seditious hands which should first be confronted. Today, in the Islamic world, Muslims ranging from North Africa to East Asia and Myanmar are under pressure. Muslims in the eastern and western parts of the world of Islam are under pressure. As for the issue of Palestine, said the leader of the Islamic Revolution, I wish to raise a number of points. Our position on the issue of Palestine is a logical position, is definite and rational. Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, at the beginning of the revolutionary movement, our magnanimous Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, had pointed to the danger of Zionist influence, intervention and oppression. And we adopted this position since the beginning of the Islamic Revolution. The first thing that the Islamic Republic did was to take over the Zionist center in Tehran set up by the previous regime. We expelled the Zionists from our country and then gave this center to the Palestinians. That was a true and symbolic course of action, and we have been continuing this position until today. We supported Palestine, we helped the Palestinians, and we will continue to do so. We have no considerations on this matter. The entire world of Islam should assist the Palestinians. In the statements of our late Imam and other senior officials of the Islamic Republic, the removal of the Israeli regime has been frequently emphasized. The enemies, however, distort this issue. The weeding out of Israel does not mean the wiping out of the Jewish people. We have nothing to do with that. It means the rooting out of the Zionist regime, that regime which has been imposed on Palestine. The end of Israel means it is the people of Palestine, the true owners of the land, whether Muslims, Christians, or original Jews in that land, who should elect their future. They should determine their own future and their own government. It means that they should throw out the outsiders, the thugs and the criminals like Netanyahu and others, who are the real thugs, and they should run their own country. This is what removal of Israel really means. And this will happen, of course. Some people think it unlikely, asking how Palestine can become independent after the passage of 70 years. But look at the Balkans and in other parts of the world. When occupied, became independence after 60 or 70 years. Their lands were given back to the people. So this is not unlikely, and this is not difficult for Allah the Almighty. As in the Holy Quran, it says in Ayah 20 of Surah Ibrahim, this will happen. We are the supporters of the Palestinians. We are advocates of the independence of Palestine. We are advocates of the salvation of Palestine, and we are not anti-Jewish. In our country, there are many Jews who live in complete peace and security. Dear listeners, that was the first part of excerpts from the speech by the leader of the Islamic Revolution to a gathering of scholars and officials and academics on the auspicious occasion of the birthday anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Tune in tomorrow for the second and concluding part of the leader's speech. Until then, goodbye and God bless.